Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together Podcast, Baseball Family. This week, we have Fernando Tatis of the Fatty Fat Fat Extension. The Mariners CEO is out, and we're going to talk the best cities in America for baseball right now.
9plus Us presents the Baseball Together Podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back to this week's episode of the Baseball Together Podcast, Baseball Family. I am Brad. Baseball is back, and Brig is back to my right.
I'm back. Yes, sir.
All right. He's here, and we're ready to go. We're ready to roll. Like I said, baseball is officially back. We have spring training underway currently, and we also have Fernando Tatis Jr., 22 years old, gets a fatty, fat, fat extension from the San Diego Padres, 14 years. $340 million. Ooh. Now, Brig, I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. The first time I saw this deal come across on like Facebook, Twitter, whatever, my first thought was, wow, the Padres got a pretty good deal. What do you think about that?
You wouldn't be wrong. What I want to know is how many opt-out clauses are available in there.
That's a good point. You know, I meant to look that up, but I totally forgot to. And I'm sure there's at least one or two.
A couple of options.
Over 14
for
years.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I bet by the time you get to year 10 or 11, you start to see more team opt outs.
Yeah.
But, honestly though, like he's 22 years old and he's a top five player in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah.
And they got him for 14 years for $340 million. I would expect him, if he had not signed this deal in the next two or three years, I would have expected him to be getting in the Mike Trout range.
Yep.
You know, in the $400, maybe even $500 million area, just because of who he is and how talented he is.
Well, but he's got to keep it up, and that's the thing that I think justifies a little bit of lower. You know, he's young, he's relatively inexperienced. I mean, let's be honest. We've been saying his name for a long time now, but let's not forget he's 22, you know?
Yeah.
So there's not a lot to justify like the Mike Trout deal or the Bryce Harper deal, right? Where you were like, okay, we know exactly what we're getting. Manny Machado was the same way. Everybody knew what they were going to get. And then he went and proved it in LA, and then they still, you know, got a deal in San Diego because he got the vetting. But anyway, I agree with you, though. I think this is exactly a steal for the Padres. I think it's a great thing for Tatis. I think it's an even better thing for baseball all the way around.
Why is that? Just a superstar staying put?
Yep. I made this same argument. I was having a conversation with Kyle McDonald actually on the VIP group earlier today, and he said he really likes this kind of hometown hero thing that we've got going on now, and I totally agree, right? We need to get back to franchise players who can be the hometown hero, face of the organization thing. And these big 10-plus year deals are the way to do it. And especially if it's justified by the price tag and the performance, right? If they match. So I said the same thing back when the Bryce Harper deal went down, was that I hope this continues to trend. And now what I will say is I'll modify that. I still hope it continues to trend. I just hope this is not all only justified because of the collective bargaining agreement. Whatever whisperings are happening about salary caps or whatever might be coming down, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We bang that drum all the time, so I don't want to berate it too much, but I still think it's relevant.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is relevant. Anytime you see a long-term deal like that, I always wonder if teams are planning ahead for the potential for a salary cap, you know, with the way they're structuring the way they're structuring the contract and things like that. I don't know that there's necessarily anything there with this one, just because I just got a sneak peek of it, and it actually goes up in value as he ages.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's like in 2021, he's going to make $1 million because he's still on his rookie deal.
Yeah.
2022, $5 million. 2023 is $7 million. Again, all on that rookie contract. But then it goes 2024, $11 million. 2020, $25 million, and then it's $36 million from 2029 all the way through 2034. He's making $36 million.
Wow.
Jeez. So it's actually a back-heavy contract.
Wow.
Which really benefits him a lot.
Yeah, that's terrific. But it also is going to solidify his position there, you know, as he ages.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
going to start seeing things slow down, and that's just the way it goes. But this is going to keep him there. These are roots, man. That's what this is.
Yeah. Yeah, and he said in, like, the press conference, whatever, when they introduced the deal, he said that he wants to be considered a San Diego Padre great, you know, aside Trevor Hoffman and Tony Gwynn. And here's this, Brig. Are you ready?
Yep.
Full no trade clause, no opt outs.
What?
On either side.
On either side?
On either side. No opt outs.
No. Are you serious?
Yeah. So if they do decide to move him, he has full control of where he goes.
Oh my gosh. That is so astonishing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the trade off. There was the trade off right there. Because the Padres got a steal on it, but man, at the back end of this thing, he gets to say whatever he wants. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Good for him. Man,
good for him.
And, man, he's only going to be 36 when this is over. And at that point, he could maybe probably get a 4-year deal somewhere.
Maybe.
2-4-year deal.
Yeah.
Depending
three,
on the
three
the
for
condition
sure.
of his body.
Yeah. You know, okay,
something
so
else, man.
That's something else. Let me go back to this Hometown Heroes thing and kind of branch off of it. I wonder if what we're going to see is the over, and I'm talking 10 years, 20 years, you know, if we're going to see team culture shift, and like franchise culture shift, like, no, we signed this big fat deal with outfielders. That's where we place our value, or we're doing middle infielders, or mm-hmm. you know what? We give our starting pitching rotation, this is the money's in New York for starting pitching, or whatever. I don't know. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I wonder if we'll see some sort of tectonic, sort of magnetic pull to those sorts of power bases and where they'll find themselves in 10 or 15 years. That's the kind of cultural stuff that's interesting to me.
It is interesting, and I'm going to kind of make a little slow transition here, because speaking of, you know, throwing a bunch of money in an outfield here, pretty soon within the next, I would say probably 3 or 4 years, Seattle could potentially have a ton of money and a ton of years tied up in their outfield.
Yeah.
Because you've already got Kyle Lewis. You're going to have Jared Kelenic, who's likely going to make probably, I think he should make the opening day roster this year. I thought he should have played last year, but they didn't ever call him up. And then I don't know that he's ready for this year, but probably in 2022, we're going to see Julio Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. Those three guys, that could very well in 2-3 years, maybe 4 years, be the very best outfield in baseball. And Seattle could have a ton of money tied up just with those three.
For like 6 years.
At least.
The overlap of those could be 6-8 years long. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, that's what I'm saying. So you have to have the pipeline to support that. You have to have mm-hmm. the flexibility in other parts of your roster. I mean, it's really going to be interesting to see what teams, like, organizationally and culturally value more with these big fat mm-hmm. contracts. I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But speaking of the Mariners, I kind of did that on purpose. So the Mariners CEO, Kevin Mathers, resigned from his position just today, actually. And I was actually very happy to see this, because the guy turns out a scumbag. So he had a like a Zoom call with the Rotary Club, with one of the local Rotary Clubs in the Seattle area on Saturday morning. And he was just kind of like bagging on the organization, like basically just bagging on players. He was saying that they've been manipulating service time for Jared Kelenic and Julio Rodriguez. Like I said, I thought Kelenic should have been up last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they never made the call up. So apparently that's why. And, you know, he was saying that Kelenic was going to be with the team, with the big league team this season, but he wasn't going to make opening day. Kind of like how the Cubs did Chris Bryant dirty.
Chris Bryant.
He was planning on doing that same thing.
Right.
And then he was saying that Julio Rodriguez isn't going to see big league time this year, even though, like I said, I don't know that he's necessarily ready, but he very well could because the dude squares up everything.
Mm.
Everything. I think his first spring training at bat, like in his first spring training with the Mariners, his first at bat, he hit like 105 off the bat or something like that. So
wow.
Yeah, he squares up everything. If he's not ready, he's darn close. And he was complaining about paying interpreters for guys like Hisashi Iwakuma, who is a Japanese player.
Yeah.
Played for the Mariners for like 6 years, he was saying. I believe his exact words were, you know, we told him that we're paying $75,000 a year for an interpreter. We don't want to. And suddenly his English got better. It's like, it did because you were looking for it, you know?
Sure. Hmm.
So he's saying stuff like that, saying Kyle Seager is overpaid, which honestly, the dude is playing better now than he was 2-3 years ago. So I don't think he's overpaid. And he was saying the TV deal is way bigger than what it should be. And that's not something you voice in public, I feel like. Because next time it comes to negotiate,
you're toast.
Well, you said that it was bigger than it should be, so let's talk about a little bit of a pay cut here.
Yeah. Ugh, what a dummy. Okay.
So, yeah, so he's going through saying all that stuff. That was, I believe, Saturday morning. The video came out Sunday night, and then over the last couple of days, a lot of people...
Because they recorded the Zoom meeting.
Well, yeah, that's what you do, right? You record a Zoom meeting and then you go back and play it for like the season ticket holders and stuff. I don't know why. I don't understand people not understanding that everything you say, especially online, can be recorded.
No kidding.
Golly. So he's out and I'm happy and I'm hoping that some of the toxicity that he has brought to the organization, because back in 2016, there were... sexual harassment allegations, I believe is what it was, that came out. Somebody said, a former employee said it was Jerry DePoto, but the organization investigated him and they were like, no, it wasn't him. Turns out it was Mathers.
Oh, no. The plot thickens.
Yeah. So yet another reason for him to have resigned or been,
whatever
it
was.
Didn't resign, I'm sure he's going to be fired, but.
Here's your box. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
Security will see you to the door.
Yeah. All right. Come back for your check.
I'd mail it to him at that
point.
Yeah,
I'd mail it to him. Sexually harass your mailbox. Sorry.
But oh, God. But, man, it's just like stuff like that is just unreal to me, and I can't believe it. Like I said, I'm glad that he's gone. I'm hoping that it gets rid of some of the toxicity within the organization, and they can have more positive influence in the clubhouse and the organization going forward. Because I'm serious when I say I think this team can win a World Series in the next few years.
For sure.
I really am serious when I say that. And get guys like that out of there. And
yeah.
Julio Rodriguez said, he actually tweeted something. I said, I use it as motivation. Like, okay. Go right ahead.
Well, okay.
But,
that makes
anyway
as much sense as anything.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But sorry, I rambled on long enough about my Mariners there.
You know what though? We loved it, Brad.
I'm glad you did.
We just did. Okay.
I'm glad you did. Let's go on and talk about your Yankees, Brig. Let's do a little bit of a spring training update. It appears that there is a little bit of bad blood in the Yankees clubhouse down there in sunny Florida. Why don't you tell us what's going on there, Brig?
Well, so apparently, let me just make sure I get my facts correct, but there are some pitching staff issues. Domingo Germán, for those of you that don't know, was finished up his suspension for domestic violence, and he is now being... chirped at? I don't know the right way to say it. There's talk from Zach Britton, another pitcher for the Yankees, saying, you know, with these like underhanded comments and some kind of some backhanded, you know, like implications about wanting to or not wanting to play with a guy who's off the who's off field. Behavior, I guess. I'm trying to be really careful here. is unacceptable to Zach Britton, right? And he says it doesn't represent the game, and the fans and the organization and, you know, by extension, him. And so, and again, I'm heavily, heavily paraphrasing here, and I'm kind of indulging some of these comments. So go look it up for accuracy's sake. But the point is, there's this kind of crazy sort of toxicity going on in the pitching staff, which is not good at all. And what's interesting in the fan chatter is to hear that Zach Britton must have forgotten that Aroldis Chapman also had a domestic violence problem. And I don't think Zach Britton has said anything to him about that or about him. I don't know.
He might be more afraid of Aroldis Chapman than he is of Domingo Germán.
Well, who is not? Let's be clear.
He's got a little bit of a screw loose. I mean, everything else aside, like, you can kind of tell, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell. And he's huge, and he's all the things. It's pretty interesting. But that's not the only thing going on in the Tampa area right now, because Reggie Jackson is no longer serving as a special advisor to the Yankees. He's out. So I don't really know why. He's blaming on his retirement, and he feels like it's just his time. I don't know if that's exactly what's happening, but there's rufflings. There are waves down in the Yankees camp right now.
Yeah, I wondered about that, if maybe it was they just didn't want him around, or if it was like, this is way more work than I want to be doing during retirement.
Well, and maybe the organization thought, this is way more work than we thought we were going to get out of it. I don't know. Maybe it could be mutual, right? Like, this is too much work, and you're kind of a pain in the butt, so, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's like call it? Edgar Martinez. Edgar Martinez was the hitting coach for the Mariners for a couple of years, and then finally he just got to the point where he's like, you know what? My kids are at a good age for me to be home. I don't want to be doing this much. You know, I'll come in and help out, but I don't want to be doing this full time. So he stepped down.
Well, Reggie Jackson, he's old, man. So
he is.
This is a good time. Old. I mean, it could be anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a liability. Maybe he'd trip on a stairs. I don't know.
Is he that old?
They're like, man, now he's on workman's comp, and he's hanging out with... what's his name that we never saw again?
What was Jacoby Ellsbury.
That's the guy. So maybe Reggie Jackson fell strategically so that he would get shipped off to wherever Ellsbury is, and he's actually trying to infiltrate whatever that realm. It's a realm. It's not actually a location. He's in a different dimension. Nobody's ever heard from him again. So Reggie Jackson's going in. They're going to tie a string around his wrist so that we can find it. That's got to be what it is.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right. Well, anyways, speaking of spring training, spring training tickets are on sale. They're selling out, too.
Yeah.
Remember that stadiums are at limited capacity, some 15, some 20, some 25%, depending on the team, depending on the facility. But they're selling out. If you haven't gotten them already, get them. ASAP. Yep. I saw that headline. I was like, oh shoot, because I've been waiting until Wednesday. When I was like, oh, I thought that's when the Mariners tickets were going on sale. So I double checked. Sure enough, some teams have not gone on sale yet. However, if your team has gone on sale, there is a good chance that they're gone. So
we got ours already. So
nice.
Down in Florida. Yep. So I'll be there the 28th of March. If anybody wants to be at the Yankees game on the 28th of March, I'd love to meet up with you.
You're going to be in Tampa, or are they playing somewhere else?
No, I think they are in Tampa. I think it's George Steinbrenner Field. I don't know. I have to go double check. I didn't buy him. My friend bought him. He lives there, so he had a locals thing.
Nice.
Yeah. I was like, I can't figure this out. Can you do this? He was like, yeah, man. So it worked out. But leading up to it, I'll let you know where we'll be, and you can jump in the mailbag and let us know, or join the VIP group on Facebook, and we can connect that way and hook it up. Maybe I'll buy you a hot dog. Be awesome.
Nice. You know, there was, when I was in high school, I went to Florida for a week, and we stayed in St. Pete, and I was like, oh my gosh, we stayed in the hotel across the street from the Yankees training spring training facility.
Cool.
And I was like, oh, dang, it was spring break. I was like, I'm going to go to a baseball game. So I went down and talked to the guy at the front desk. He said, oh, the last game was 2 days ago.
Oh.
Like, no.
Yeah, that's so happened to me a lot of times. Missed it. Stuff just like that. Missed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm glad you get to go. I'm excited for you. You're going to have a lot of fun. It'll be a good experience.
Me too.
All right, one last thing here before we take a break. One last thing.
Yeah, okay.
The Colorado Rockies' Ian Desmond has opted out of the season again. Now, there are guys who are opting out. There were guys who opted out last year. Yeah. But I thought his was really interesting because he said it's to spend time with his family. Now, Brig, I don't know if this is something that you've noticed, but typically when guys say they want to, and this is not just in baseball, but other industries as well, when they say they want to spend time with their family, it's, I don't want to spend time with work. Like Dan Patrick specifically said when he left ESPN, he said it was so that he could be closer to home and spend more time with his family. He said, I just didn't want to be at ESPN anymore.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if Ian Desmond just does not want to be with the Rockies anymore, but he's under contract, so he has to, like,
find
be
a
with
way.
The organization for so long. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that comes to mind is when people say that, it's like, they don't want to admit that they need to spend time with their family because something's wrong. You know, there's mending happening. And I think if that's the case, like, bravo, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Work comes second, you know.
Yeah, and last year he said it had a lot to do with the social unrest that was going on. You know, teaches kids about Black Lives Matter and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's still necessarily the case, or if he, like I said, if he just doesn't want to be with the Colorado Rockies.
It could be a million things, but you're right. Yeah. Like historically, you know, these are signs of either something's wrong at home or something's wrong at work. You know.
Yep, it's true. It's true. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. But before we do, don't forget about our Raise Energy giveaway. I'm drinking Voodoo tonight. I've got an on-the-go pack, drinking it out of a water bottle. It is delicious. All you got to do to enter our giveaway is hop in the mailbag, send us a question, comment, concern, whatever you want to tell us in the mailbag, send it our way, and you'll be entered to win the Raise sampler pack, is that what I said? The Raise sampler pack is 4 cans of Raise Energy, 4 packs of pre-workout samples, 4 packs of on-the-go, and I want to say 2 or 4 sleep aid packs. It's all good stuff. If you want to enter to win, go ahead and send us something in the mailbag on baseballtogether.com or follow the link in the doobly-doo. And with that, we'll be right back.
Welcome back, baseball family. This last week, we had kind of an interesting conversation in the VIP group we wanted to bring you in on. I wanted to know, Brad and I talked about this, mm-hmm. We wanted to know what is the first thing everyone is going to do when they finally go back to the ballpark. And I have my opinions. Brad has his opinions. They're not that different, as I'm sure you could guess. But we did hear a number of really interesting opinions come up from the discussion on the group. And I think we should just go ahead and say that universally, everybody's very excited about hot dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, it's so funny because they're not good. Like, I guess they're
often
good, not great, but there's something special about a hot dog at the ballpark, right?
It's true. It is a magical thing. And I don't even mm-hmm. understand why, but it doesn't matter. It just is, right?
Yeah. 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 I don't know. But yeah, yeah, I mean, we're all going to get a hot dog. And, I mean, for me, the one thing that I want to make sure that I do is I want to be somewhere where I can hear the pop of the glove on the very first pitch.
Oh.
And, you know, whether that's first
pitch
of the pitcher warming up before the game, you know, throwing his first eight warm-up tosses, or if it's the first pitch of the game. I mean, I'm assuming that if I'm somewhere I can hear it while he's warming up, I'll be able to hear it
sure.
when the game is actually going, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the sound that I'm waiting for. And the other sound I'm waiting for is the first crack of the bat, especially a home run, because it just sounds so good. It's so different.
It is different. It really is. And maybe it'll be way more different. Way more differenter. I don't know. How do you say that? Sounded weird coming out. It'll be way different. Could be different with the new modified baseballs. I don't know. We'll see if that proves true or not. But it could affect the sound.
It could. It's not so much of a rock hitting the back of the glove there, but I don't know. Either way, those fastballs sometimes sound like shotguns, so I'm excited to hear that sound.
It's going to hit the glove. I think you're going to hear the same thing, but I mean, when it comes off the bat, I wonder if that'll change.
Interesting.
I have had a couple of these conversations on the group, but I'm going to use it almost as a mindfulness exercise. I know that sounds new age and hippie and all that, but I really am going to sit there probably in the concourse, right, looking out on the field, and I'm just going to close my eyes, and I'm just going to say, I'm going to try and identify as many different sounds and smells and, you know, different things that I can, and then I'm going to open my eyes, and I'm going to look, and I'm going to appreciate the color and everything, and I really am going to just force myself to slow down, to not take it for granted ever again. When it'll happen, I'll do it again. For sure, but not in that moment. I'm not going to let myself, for that first ball game, I'm not going to let myself take it for granted. I'm just going to stand there and be grateful and happy.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one thing that's funny is I talked about how I went and I toured the Peoria Sports Complex back in October, and they were actually top seeding the field, so the grass looked all dead and yellow.
Yeah.
And I'm working on putting together a video with that, and then also meshing together that with my spring training trip last March. And the difference, in the sky, because it was a sunny day in October. I mean, it's always a sunny day in Arizona, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
But it was a sunny day both days, but the sky is so much more blue in March than it was in October, and the grass was beautifully green. And I have not seen that. And I'll be honest with you, I drive by the Peoria Sports Complex, and sometimes I just swing through the parking lot just so I can see it. Because that's awesome. I got an itch to scratch, you know? But being able to see that green grass again is going to be really, really cool.
Yeah, I love that. Was there a comment in the discussion with our friends that took you by surprise or that was different than you expected?
I don't know if there is one that really took me by surprise. Sorry, I got to pull it up again because, like I said, if it didn't really catch me by surprise, then I'm probably not going to remember it off the top of my head.
Sure.
So let me scroll down here real quick to find it as my phone thinks. Man, why can't I find it?
While you look, I'll tell you that...
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
A lot of people agree that they're going to take the day off of work. You know, they're going to say no, and they're going to really lean in and celebrate. And I think that's really cool. And I was finding myself doing the logistics in my brain. And I was thinking, yeah, okay, you could take the day off. Like, I'm taking time off of work to go to spring training, and then I'm going to take time off. I could probably take the day off, opening day off. But then the minor league seasons are going to start a little bit later, and I could take that day off too to go to the ballpark. But what's interesting is that a lot of people are saying that, you know, they're going to take time off, and I think it should be celebrated that way. I think that's really a neat thing, is to see that our baseball family's recognizing that, you know, that they can give this gift to themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's one. I found a really good one. This is Roman A. Guerra. I'm probably saying that wrong. Anyway, he said, buy a new cap.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about a hat that feels differently when you buy it at the ballpark. I mean, it's the exact same thing.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
You know, but it's the nostalgia of the experience at the park with that hat. That every time you put it on, it's like, yeah, it's the first time I wore this. Is that a game? You know,
yep.
I bought it, took the stickers off, left them on, however you like to do it, and put it right on. And that was part of my game day experience. So you get to relive it every single time you put it on. I think that's a great one. I think that's a really good one. Go into the park, walk around, go to the team store, and buy yourself a hat right away, just to something easy to remember the experience by. You know, your first time back in the ballpark after, golly, probably 2-3 years for some of them, for some people.
Yeah, you're right. Well, so, and it's, yeah. So one of the things that surprised me with this discussion, and I know I'm kind of on the sentimental side today, so I don't know what that's all about, but multiple people said or referenced, like, having an actual tear or tearing up or some sort of, like, legitimate emotional response, and either expecting it or you know, willing to allow it if that was the case, whatever it may be. I'm paraphrasing again, but I was surprised that that was not just one comment. It was multiple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. And I probably will. I you know, in my life, I never cried, like, tears of joy or, like, got emotional over, like, a movie or anything like that until my son was born. And ever since then, like, I'm, like, the biggest wuss. The biggest wuss.
Hey, whoa.
Like, if there's a sentimental K commercial brig, I'll tear up. Like, all my eyes start to water. Like, golly, getting dusty in here, man.
It's true. Like, it's true, though. And for the record, Brad, tearing up doesn't make you a wuss, okay? It's okay to be emotionally available, Brad. This is 2021. We can be men with tears in our eyes. It's fine.
It's true.
I'll share a story just like that. I mean, when Tiffany, my wife, was going through all her cancer treatments and COVID was, you know, new and we didn't have access to each other. She was at the hospital. I wasn't able to go see her. And baseball was shut down. I remember I drove to the ballpark here in town and I just sat outside the gate, like, wondering why I couldn't have baseball when, you know, I felt like I needed it more than ever to have the distraction and to have some sort of landing spot that was safe and familiar and comfortable and fun and all the things that baseball is. And I cried. I cried right there at the gate with nobody there. I'm sure if somebody was walking by, they'd be like, wow, he really misses baseball. And I did. It was just for a whole lot of reasons. But so I think maybe I might cry too. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of it, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, same thing for you. It's an escape for a lot of people. I mean, sports in general is, you know.
Yeah.
I try not to take sports and baseball especially too seriously. There's a lot of people who really do, but I'm just like, you know what? Tim Kirchin once said, life's hard enough as it is. If there's a laugh, count me in. And that's part of the reason that's part of the way I treat sports. I used to be really, really serious about it, but I'm just like, you know, it's just a game. It's an escape from all the hard things in life. And if we can have fun with it, I mean, that's part of the reason we do this podcast, so we can have some fun with it and escape from the other things in life and help our listeners and our baseball family do the same thing. And I think that there are going to be a lot of people standing in a stadium just like, this is what I needed. I missed it more than I thought.
Yep.
Going to be a lot of emotional experiences.
I'm getting emotional just thinking about it, to be honest with you.
Let's take a break then. Should we take a break?
So I can recover. Not be a wuss and cry.
When we get back, we're going to talk about the best baseball cities in America.
No matter which ballpark you're at, you want to rep your team. Now you can with 9+ Us. Welcome to the Big City Series. With every design available in your team's colors, you can fit in with the home crowd or stand out on the road. Either way, we have the colors you crave. Shop the Big City Series and find designs that rep your favorite baseball podcast, cheer from the cheap seats, and much more. Shop the Big City Series only at 9plusus.com.
Welcome back, baseball family. All right, we wanted to do a quick thing for you here to wrap things up. I was curious what people thought was the best baseball city in America. So I thought, you know what? Let's, Brig and I, let's put together some lists, share our thoughts on it. And baseball family, we want you to let us know what you think are the best baseball cities in America, whether you've been there or not. We want to share opinions with you. Let's go ahead and get started. We're going to do three. And as always, we do have runners up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Always.
as per usual. So, Brig, why don't you get us started here with your runner-up?
Well, before I do, Brad, I think I better lay some context out.
Okay.
So, the way I asked Brad before this, I said, should we come up with standardized criteria or some sort of uniformity for our evaluation? He said, no. He said, I want to keep it totally pure, right? So, you evaluate the city how you want to. I'll evaluate it how I want to. Use whatever metrics or whatever you want. I said, ooh, cool. So, I did whatever I want, which is the best answer ever. Do whatever you want. Say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have, and most of my criteria will start to come to light very quickly, but I did want to say that I did a little bit of background research. I went and figured out what the average ticket prices were in 2019 per seat across the league. The highest was $167 average seat. That's league-wide. Oh, wow. Now, that's not a premium seat. So if there's any additional amenities at all, then it doesn't count, right? That's just a regular old seat, like you can get anywhere, no padding, you're not behind home plate in a Lazy Boy, nobody will bring you anything for free, you know, nothing like that. These are regular old seats. So $167 per seat was the top end. The bottom end was $52 per seat, okay?
Okay.
And that was at Statista. I also went to Wallet Hub. I went to Wallet Hub, and they have a metric-driven, I guess, list of the best baseball cities in America. And they have 31 key metrics that they use to determine what would be the best baseball city in America. And I know I'm nerding out a little bit right here, but some of the things that they evaluated and gave weight to were the number of teams in the city, performance level of the teams, how many championships, but then all the way down to fan engagement, average ticket price, number of coaches in the past 10 seasons. So coaching turnover was a factor that they used. Stadium capacity, and then average attendances, those things. I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. 31 metrics to go into their score on, and it was out of 361 cities in America, and they took major league, minor league, and college, okay? So those are a couple of the things that I used, and I did that research after I'd already made my decisions. So I said, these are what I think are the best baseball cities in America. Let me go see what the rest of the world thinks, and I have their data to insert into my decision-making.
Well, now I feel bad, because I did not go nearly that deep, and...
That's okay. I have the data right here. We just pulled it up and had it.
All right. Okay.
Pretty cool. So my runner-up...
Go ahead. Yep.
My runner-up is New York City.
Okay.
And... there's a lot of reasons New York City could arguably be the greatest baseball city in America. I mean, there are two teams there. So if you can support two historical franchises like that, I mean, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Two new stadiums in the last couple of decades. That's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
So there's clearly money. There's clearly support, right? The fans are coming out. Public transportation to either ball field. That's a big deal to me, right? The ability to get to and from. You don't have to worry about parking or paying or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I mean, we can talk about the fans are loyal to a fault sometimes. And, but I would, the reason Chicago, or the reason New York is my runner up is because sometimes, and I say this with all of the humility I can, Yankees fans are not accommodating. So for people visiting New York, so the story goes, I've never been, so I don't know, and this is me being the Yankees fan that's never been to the Bronx, but everything I know about Yankees fans, being one of them, is that, you know, we get pretty rough sometimes, and we have some pretty intense opinions, and it ought to be your opinion too. So I just think that it's less inviting sometimes, and that's why they're my runner-up.
Okay. And, you know, I'll be honest. I did not New York is not on my list. Part of it is because, and actually, like, this is like the big reason, is because you hear things about how New York fans don't get to the game until like the fourth or fifth inning, and everybody's sitting there on their phones the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, that's like a big thing for me, is like, I know that the Yankees are the Yankees, the Mets are the Mets, and you've got a long history there. But to me, New York is a basketball town.
Yeah.
The Knicks suck and have for a long time, and they still draw at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, you're right.
So I view New York as more of a basketball town as a baseball town. That's just me. So
I like it. All right. I like it. Who's your runner-up, Brad?
My runner-up is actually Boston.
Okay.
And, you know, a big thing for me is fan loyalty.
Yeah, me too.
How long has your team gone without winning anything or winning a World Series, and you still sell that place out?
Yeah.
You know, you look at Fenway, and that place, I mean, part of it is because it's a baseball landmark, you know?
Of course.
The history there, like, people, any baseball fan who goes to Boston typically is going to make it a point to go to a game, you know, if it's available.
If he can. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a big part of it also, is, you know, the experience of Fenway's. But also, like, those fans have been rabid. They went, golly, what was it? It was like 90 years, something like that.
86,
that's right. Yeah, 86 years between World Series titles, and the fans just, they rode it out for, I mean, literally generations. Rode it out.
Yeah.
To get that title, and it was a big deal, and, you know, fortunately for them, the Red Sox have repaid and won multiple titles since then.
Yeah.
But that fan base is so strong and so loyal that I consider Boston a really, really strong baseball town. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you've got the Patriots, you've got the Celtics competing. Mm-hmm. So they're not the number one show in town.
Got it.
Despite everything, and that's why they're my runner-up.
Cool. Okay. All right. It's a good argument. My number three is Chicago.
Oh, that's my number three.
Yes! All right, well, let's just geek out then. So, obviously, Wrigley is a landmark, right? Just like you say with Fenway, there's no arguing with it. If you're even close to have the opportunity to go, you go. Plus, the Ivy. Let's just give the Ivy a nod. Plus... Yeah. It's the setting of my favorite baseball movie ever. So it plays host to Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year, for those who don't know.
That's right. Fans just don't know when to quit. I think that's it's a big deal. I mean, you're talking loyalty, and you're talking like generational problems with, like, but they still pack it out. You know, they're still there, and they're still diehard fans, and that's beyond. That's beyond loyalty. It's something totally new.
It is. And that was like one of my big things, is even with day games for so many years and so recently, people were still going to games every day.
Yep. Every
day. You know, and the day game at Wrigley was featured on one of my favorite movies, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
For sure.
You know, he skips school and goes to a game, because who wouldn't at that point?
No doubt.
But yeah, no, the long-suffering fans for sure got it for me. And and I actually specifically went north side on this, specifically. Cubs fans make like that part of the city like really big. You've got Wrigleyville,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It's where else do you have people listening to the game out in the street but not watching it, just waiting for a home run ball?
Yeah.
Or what other cities have they accommodated and not raised the outfield grandstand to increase ticket revenue, but instead let the people who live across the street watch the game from on top of their apartment complex?
Right. Well, and it's literally in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, it's so Americana, it's nuts, right? Like, everything about it is family friendly. It's called the Friendly Confines for a reason. Mm-hmm. Super duh. It's a huge baseball town. Then you throw in the fact that there is a second Major League Baseball team in the same city. So... Yep. It's a huge deal. You know, anyway, the point is it's fabulous. And while there are fewer White Sox fans than Cubs fans, those people are diehard, man. Like,
yeah.
It's like Raiders fans, right? Where they're like, I'm going to paint my face and I'm going to put on my spiky shoulder pads, and we're freaking going, okay? So I don't care what you wanted to do today. We're going to the White Sox game. Get in the car or get on the train, you know?
White Sox fans are the Raider fans of Major League Baseball, aren't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, okay, totally. A couple of my nerd alerts here. The average ticket price for a seat in Wrigley is $93, and they don't call it Comiskey anymore, whatever it is, the new one, $81 per seat. And then the Wallet Hub 31-point evaluation, it came in – Chicago comes in at number 5 of 361 available cities for baseball. Number 5.
All right. Very nice. Yes. And so one of the things I looked at was attendance. I wanted to look like farther back, but
yeah,
I just didn't take the time. But
it's fair.
The Cubs, I feel like, I mean, in 2018, they were number 5 in attendance. That's attendance per game.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2019, they were number 4.
Wow.
In attendance per game. And I feel like that's pretty consistent with them.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, they draw. The Cubs draw. They always have drawn. They always will draw.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, rabid fan base and a national draw. There are way more Cubs fans nationally because of WGN, most likely,
mm-hmm. For sure.
than a lot of other teams. So.
Right. Same with the Braves and TBS, right? There are tons of Braves fans, tons of Chipper Jones fans for the same reason. Yep.
Yep. Exactly right. Yep.
All right. Should we just go to my number two, or do you want to go to your
number
two?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead with your number two.
Okay, so my number two is Boston, actually.
Okay.
Again, Fenway is a landmark. The fans are hardcore. I mean, as hardcore as they come, but the brand itself is transcendent, and the brand tells you a lot about the city and its culture and its people. And if you see a Red Sox hat, you know, that scripted B, anywhere in the world, it's going to tell you a lot about that person. And so I think there's a lot to be said there, and the team stands up that culture. The team drives it. There's something really – I know I'm a Yankees fan, but there's something really special about the blue-collar, bad boy, bearded baseball that they built in that late 90s, early 2000s, David Ortiz smashing the call box. You know, that Johnny Damon – out in the outfield with his beard, and Dustin Pedroia having almost no business being in the major leagues. You know what I mean? Like, all of it was...
And Manny Ramirez is with his dreads.
Oh, Manny being Manny. Like, let's just be honest. It's a magical thing that they have down there. The culture is a big deal. I don't know. I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's average ticket price for one seat at Fenway is $167. It's the top end of all top ends, and it beats out the number two by quite a bit. And then it's Wallet Hub listed it as number 4 out of 361. So for those reasons, I think it's the number two baseball city in America.
Very nice. And I can't fault you for that because, like I said, they were my runner-up. I totally get it.
For sure. Well, and I can't argue with your basketball stuff, too. I mean, but the Patriots, what I did want to say is that the baseball scene has not diminished despite the Patriots' success. Like, even with it, it's still as robust. And before the Patriots were successful at all, and we were laughing at them, the Red Sox fan base was still as, you know, hot and heavy. So I don't think I don't think the Patriots have taken away from the Red Sox thing at all.
Right. And, you know, I say Patriots because that's pretty recent, but I feel like the Celtics thing is very real.
Yeah, but they didn't split their loyalty. They just were loyal to both as aggressively.
Yeah. 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 It's
that's
true. Right.
That's my argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get
okay,
it.
Okay. What's
cool.
your number two?
My number two is LA.
LA.
The best tacos in LA.
Okay.
And specifically Los Angeles. I mean, I could include Anaheim in this because technically the Angels are the LA Angels. You know, and that's a team who has not been good and continues to draw. despite not being good.
True.
But really, the Dodgers, like, it's a Dodgers town, man. It really is.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers are, like, what, the last few years, which, granted, they've been very good. Obviously, you know, they won the World Series last year, and they've contended for the last four. You know, like, they're, like, top in the big leagues almost for, almost, or they are. 2018 or 2019, they were number one in attendance per game, and 2018 too. And like I said, they're very good, so that makes it's a super duh. You know, people are going to go when you've got a really good team that's going to contend. But I feel like people go anyway,
for sure,
because Dodger Stadium, another landmark. They're almost like the Yankees of the West Coast to me.
They exactly.
You see tons of LA hats, specifically, you know, the L and the A. You don't see a lot of Angels hats. You don't see as many San Francisco or Oakland hats. Nope. You definitely don't see very many Mariners hats just because they're terrible for so long.
Right.
But you see the LA hat. Just if you're not in a baseball city, you're going to see either a Yankee hat, a Boston hat, or
a Dodgers
an LA
hat.
Yeah, typically.
You're absolutely right. Yep. And probably in that order, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably in that order. But Chavez Ravine, as much of a nightmare as it is to get in out of there, I've only heard stories. I've heard the legend of the of getting out of Chavez Ravine. People still go. Celebrities go.
Yeah.
You know, celebrities aren't making the trip down to Anaheim to watch the Angels play so much. They're going to watch the Dodgers. It's the place to be and be seen.
Yeah.
So that's my number two, the Dodgers.
Very cool. The average ticket price for L.A., is $108, coming in at number three. And then Wallet Hub puts them at number two, ranked number two.
Nice.
Just like you, Brad.
All right.
All right, my number one. What?
Doing something right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, can I just say real quick, bet you our number one is the same.
I'm going to bet you on that. I'll bet you're absolutely right. I bet we have the same one.
Okay, go ahead.
Should we say it on three?
Yeah, ready?
Three, two, one.
St. Louis. Yep.
Yes! Why, Brad?
Well, there's a number of reasons. St. Louis, like we've talked about, just the consistency of the organization. And they've treated their fans well with the consistency, and those fans are smart.
Yeah.
Loyal and smart. Yep. St. Louis is known as one of the smartest baseball cities in the country. The fans know what's going on in the field. They know what's going on with their team, know what's going on with their opponents. And that goes a long way for me with being the best baseball city. Like, you know, the Rams were there. The reason they left was because, I mean, there was a lot of reasons, but the Cardinals are never going to leave. Ever.
No.
Like, it helps being the only show in town.
That's right.
But they've been able to be steadfast and stable because they draw. If they didn't draw, you know, owners could easily pull them out and say, you know what, we're going to go somewhere else and go somewhere where we can get more fans. But
totally.
But a loyal fan base, a knowledgeable fan base, to me, makes them the top baseball city.
I've also heard that they're among the kindest and most accommodating baseball fans in America. Like, people who I've talked to that visit St. Louis and go to Busch, they're like, no, man, they're so nice. They're just glad you're there. They're really, I mean, they want you to know what you're talking about. Otherwise, you're not as hip as they are. But
right.
But they're really, I hear, very kind, very accommodating. It's a family-oriented atmosphere, I hear. It's a big deal for me. But also, and in addition to it being the only show in town, except for the Blues.
Of course.
Yeah, the Blues are there. But that's relatively new. I mean, comparatively, the St. Louis Cardinals have been around for ever.
Yeah.
And they have a rich history. But the next thing for me, the stadium's gorgeous, but also it's walkable, right? You can go to the Arch. You can go to there's breweries all up and down. You can get to the Anheuser-Busch Brewery, original brewery, is within walking distance as well. I mean, it's a really walkable metro area downtown, like the heart of downtown. And for me, that's a huge deal, right? Being able to to get out and walk around and experience. That's why things like the Battery in the Braves built in Marietta is a big deal, or Wrigleyville, things like that, because there you can, you know, stand up economic development and a rich culture and stuff like that, all in concert with baseball and not competing, which is something like the Battery kind of struggles with in the Atlanta Braves market, is because it is kind of off and away in Marietta. It's almost an hour away from like Atlanta's downtown proper, which is kind of weird, but apparently they draw tons of money. I talked to a guy who does tours down there at the new park, SunTrust or whatever they're calling it today, Truist. And I don't know, it changes all the time, but yeah, but in St. Louis, you don't have that problem. I mean, the economic development of the city is built up and around and in concert with the ball field. It's right there in the middle of everything. So there's no like, hey, come to the ballpark. It's like, hey, while you're on your way, you might as well watch a ball game. You know, like, yeah. And then when you're done, come over because we're right here. I love that.
Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, that's one thing. You've done way more traveling than I have. You've seen way more of these ballparks. The only one I've ever actually been near is Dodger Stadium. I've never even actually been to a game there. I've seen it from a distance. And actually, my brother-in-law showed me. He's like, yeah, so there's the stadium, and that street right there is the only way out. That's the only reason I know anything about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, I walked right up to the gate at Bush. I mean, the day I was there, they didn't have a game going on or anything, but we walked from the arch to the ball field, and then we walked to a restaurant, and then it was great. I mean, it was like, this is like right here. And it's just beautiful, cool. Man, the way that it's built and everything. So in St. Louis, the average seat's about $100, $101. And Wallet Hub lists it as number 3.
Nice.
Out of 361. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, baseball family, let us know what you think the best cities for baseball are in America. Do you agree with us? Do you completely agree with us? I feel like we have a pretty good general consensus with a lot of our answers. Like you said, we agreed on number 3 and number 1, and we both had Boston in there.
Yeah, right.
You know, so
yeah.
So I feel like that's going to be pretty common. But let us know what you think. Hop in the mailbag on Baseball Together. Let us know. And you know what? If you do, you'll be eligible for our giveaway, our raise
True
giveaway.
That. True story. Don't forget to jump on the shop at 9plusus.com for all your swag that you watching on YouTube can see us wearing. But those of you listening, we love you too. We invite you to go to 9plusus.com and get yourself something nice. The season's about to start. You can get I'm wearing my Baseball Things hat today, and I think that's the one I'm going to wear to my first baseball game this season. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff there. We're really excited about it.
Awesome. Yeah. Right on. You can also hop on baseballtogether.com. You can watch the podcast, listen to the podcast. Like I said, submit to the mailbag. Send us questions, comments, concerns, snide remarks. Let us know what you think. If you want to ask us a question about us personally, or if you want to ask something about baseball, either way is just fine. Go ahead and send something to us. And baseball family, don't forget to follow us on social media as well. Jump in Facebook on the VIP group, 9 Plus Us VIPs. You can follow us on TikTok. We have a lot of content there now. We're having a lot of fun with it. That's baseball, the number 2 together. Same thing with Twitter, baseball together. Go follow us on social media. You can interact with us there. And baseball family, we will catch you next week.